Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the beginning of the new perek of the third perek of Maseches Megillah. As you can see in the middle of the page, before we begin the actual Mishnah, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we've written Dinim Bekriyas HaMegillah. We'll be seeing some halachas that govern the reading of the Megillah, Mispar HaOilim LeTorah BiYomim Shonim, and we'll also deal with the number of Aliyos that are distributed for Torah reading on different days. As you scan ahead in the Gemara, you will notice a house shape. Under the Mivneh heading, under the structural note, you see that this highlights the number, the Mispar HaOilim LeTorah BiYomim Shonim, the number of people that are called up to the Torah on different days when there is a Torah reading in Shul. The Mishnah. HaKorei Es HaMegillah Omeid V'yoshev, one who reads the Megillah can read it either standing or seated. Kora Echad, Koruha Shnayim Yatsu, if it's read by one person, or even if it's read by two people that are reading together, you fulfill your obligation. And with regard to the Megillah, we don't say that two voices cannot be heard. This concept of trei koli lo mishtamoi will figure later in the Gemara's discussion, but we don't regard that as a problem when it comes to the reading of the Megillah. Mokoim shenohagu levorech yevorech, shelo levorech lo yevorech. In regarding a benediction that's attached to the Megillah reading, so it depends on the custom. If the custom is to recite a benediction, so it is. And if the custom is not to recite the benediction, then it is not. Now, when we speak about a benediction, bear in mind that there is, generally speaking, a bracha, a benediction made before the performance of a mitzvah, and possibly a bracha after the mitzvah. We'll see more about this later in the Gemara. And now we get into the laws concerning Torah reading and the number of people that are called up to the Torah. B'sheni v'chamishi. B'sheni is Monday, Chamishi Thursday. B'Shabbos b'mincha. This is on every Shabbos in the afternoon during the mincha davening. Korin shlosha. Three people are called up. In other words, there is a section of the Torah that's read, and when we speak about Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos afternoon, we're talking about the what we call the first section of the weekly Torah portion, the Parshas Shavua. So three people are called up for that, three separate people, in other words, the portion is divided into three, what we call three aliyos. Ein pochsin mehen ve'ein mosifin alehen. Not less than three, not more than three. Ve'ein maftirin benovi. And there is no subsequent reading from the prophets. Haposeach ve'hachosein ba'torah mevorech lefoneho ulachreho. The one who opens the Torah reading and one who closes the Torah reading will make a brocha. And this phrase, this halacha is repeated throughout the Mishnah, and you can see on the side we've explained the double underline as highlighting this expression. Now, maybe a word before we go too much further. Most of you are familiar with the procedure of the Torah reading in the synagogue and brachas being recited by those who get aliyahs. There is what we call an original takana, an original format of Torah reading, and then there's a later takana, a later institution that was added. So the original takana, the original formulation of Torah reading, was that even if you have multiple people called up to the Torah, a bracha is recited only by the opening, the first oleh, and he makes a bracha before they start the Torah reading, and the last person to receive an aliyah, he will make a bracha when the Torah portion that is being read is finished. All the interim people called up do not make brachas. Truth be told, in the old days, the Torah reading was read, the portion was read by each one who was called up. He would read his own portion. Nowadays, we have a Baal Kore, someone who is assigned the task of reading, and people are nevertheless called up to read along with the Baal Kore. But as far as this line in the Mishnah is concerned, the Posech and the Chosein, Posech is a reference to the first one called up, and he makes an opening bracha, and the Chosein is the one who signs off, the last one to be called up, he will say a bracha at the closing of the Torah reading. Baroshe Chadoshim uvecholo shel Moed, on the beginnings of months, that's Rosh Chodesh, and Chol HaMoed, the interim days of Pesach and Sukkot, Korin Arba'ah. There are four people called up. The Torah section that's read is read with four successive people being called up. Ein pochasin mehen, not you cannot have less than four. V'ein mosifin alehen, nor do we add, just four, not more, not less. V'ein maftirin benovi, there is no additional novi prophet section that is read. Haposeach v'achosein b'torah mevorech lifoneha ulachrao. Ze haklal, the following is the rule. Kol shiyesh boi musaf, v'eino yom tov, korin arba'a. Any day that has a musaf sacrifice, and nowadays we would have a musaf shmona esrei, but is not classified as a yom tov, not classified as a holiday, so you have korin arba'a. You would have four people called up. So that is the case, certainly as it applies to Rosh Chodesh. There is a Musaf as well as during Chol HaMoed, but it's not a Yom Tov. One, for example, is allowed to do Molochas. B'Yom Tov Chamisha, on holidays, five people are called up. That includes Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah as well. B'Yom HaKippurim Shisha, six are called up to the Torah reading of Yom Kippur. B'Shabbos Shiva, and on Shabbos 7. Ein pochasin mehen, avo mosifan alehen. With regard to these last three categories, the 5, 6, and 7 situations, you're not to have less than they, but you can add. Umaftirin benovi, and there is a novi that is read. We also read from the prophets, haposeach v'achosein b'tor mevorech lifoneha ulachreha. And the opening and closing people read, recite a bracha. Before continuing with the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a nosei mivne heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note. In the Gemara text, you will notice a bow tie shape appears. This represents havlotas, an accentuating of brisos. Tanaic sources, Shemalamdim de Dine Kriyas HaTorah Shonim Mimikra Megillah, that the laws that apply to the Torah reading are different than the way we approach the reading of the Megillah. One, Ein Kriyas HaTorah B'Yeshiva Ela B'Amida. The Torah reading, in contrast to the Megillah, the Torah is read only standing. Number two, Rak Echod Korei B'Torah. Whereas during the Megillah reading, two people can read the Megillah together, and anyone listening can fulfill the mitzvah by hearing the two reading together. Not so in the case of the Torah. That point will be discussed on Omid Beis. We have a triangle that highlights comments made by Rebbe Avo. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Tana, Mashe'ein Kein B'Torah. The Mishnah mentioned that two can read the Megillah together and one will fulfill his mitzvah that way. Not so in the case of the Torah reading. Actually, we should correct ourselves. And here, when it says Mashe'ein Kein B'Torah, though what we said is true, but it's not appropriate for right now, here we're talking about the Torah reading is not to be read seated, only standing. And that, again, is in contrast to the opening of the Mishnah, which spoke about the Megillah being read either standing or seated. Mino hani mili. From where do we know this? Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Kro, the Omar Kro, the Ato Poi Amoid Imodi. The Pasuk reflects an event that took place at the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, where the Almighty says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you will stand here with me. So the Pasuk emphasizes standing in the context of the Torah. The Omar Rabbi Avo, Il Mole Mikro Kosuv Iaf Shel Omro. If the Pasuk wouldn't have said what it said on our own, we would not be able to say it. Kivyochol, it is as if to say, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bamida. Even the Almighty himself was standing. Of course, the concept of human actions and their descriptions as applied to the Almighty is only a manner of presenting matters, but not to be taken literally. The Omar Rabbi Avo, Minayin L'Rav, before we go on, let's just point out that the basis of this last Rabbi Avo comment is from the Pasuk where it says that you, Moshe, will stand imodi, together with me, giving the impression that the Almighty is also standing. So they'll stand together. Now we continue. V'yomer Rabbi Avo, minayin l'rav shelo yeshev al gabi mita v'yishane l'talmidoi al gabi karka. From where do we know that in Torah teaching, the rabbi should not sit on a bed, sit on a elevated surface, and the students sitting on the ground. But rather, they should either both be sitting on the bed or both sitting on the floor. Shenemar v'ata poi amoid imodi. The same pasuk is cited also with regard to the teaching of Torah in general, that the teacher and the student shall be on the same plane. Tonu Rabbanon, mi mois Moshe v'ad Rabban Gamliel lo hoyu loindim Torah ela meumad. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until the period of Rabban Gamliel, so Torah was not learned any way other than standing. Mishemes Rabban Gamliel, upon his passing, Yorad Chuli Le'olam, weakness descended upon the world, V'hoyu L'meidim Torah Mishavan, Torah learning would be even seated. V'hainu Disnan, and it's based on this that the Mishnah says at the end of Maseches Soita, Mishemes Rabban Gamliel, upon the death of Rabban Gamliel, Botel Kavod HaTorah, the honor of Torah ceased. In other words, the honor of Torah was conveyed through its being studied only standing. But that came to an end with Rabban Gamliel's death. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. The Nosei are as four drachim, four approaches, Liyashiv Stira B'Psukim, L'Gabi HaTzur Shibolomad Moshe Bahar. There appears to be a contradiction between two psukim. How did Moshe Rabbeinu as far as position is concerned, how did he study Torah on Mount Sinai? B'yeshiva o b'amida, seated or standing. And as you can see in the Gemara, you'll see there are four resolutions to this question. Kosuv echad omer v'eshev bahar. V'kosuv echad omer v'anochi omadati bahar. One pasuk has Moshe Rabbeinu saying, and I sat on the mountain. And, of course, a reference to Mount Sinai. And the other pasuk says, I stood on the mountain. Omar Rav, omeid v'lomeid yoshev v'shoneh. His initial learning was while standing, and then when it came to review, he was seated. Number two, Rabbi Chanina Omar, lo omeid v'lo yoshev, not standing, not in a standing position, nor seated, elo shocher, rather bent over. So the resolution of the Tupsukim is a middle ground. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, ein yeshiva elo loshon akova. The pasuk that says for eshev bahar doesn't mean seated. It means I was delayed there. In other words, I remained there. Shenemar vateshvu bekodesh yomim rabim, and they dwelled, they delayed there on their journey through the desert. They delayed in kodesh many days. So it doesn't mean they actually physically sat there, but it means that they were present there and didn't continue on their journey for many days. Rava Omar, Rakos Mumod V'Koshos Miyushov. Rava says, in fact, both positions were assumed by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rakos, the teachings that are easy to absorb, that are light and soft and easy to absorb, so that was done while standing. However, the more difficult things were while seated. Rashi says, Rakis dvorim rakim v'noichim she'odem mohir l'shoman. Pleasant things that a person is eager to hear. So that was while standing. But the things that are more difficult to listen to, that while seated. It is reminiscent of what people say amongst one another when before someone has, let's say, bad news, something difficult to listen to, one will say, be seated before I continue talking. Koro echod koru hashnayim yatsu. The Mishnah said that with regard to the Megillah reading, whether one reads it or two read it together, those that are listening can fulfill their requirement that way. And we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Tono Masha'en Kane B'Torah. This is in contrast to the Torah reading where only one is to read. Tonu Rabbonan. B'Torah, when it comes to the Torah reading, notice in terms of this Tanaic source, we have three categories. They're underlined and marked Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. We'll discuss the Torah, the Novi, and Hallel together with Megillah. B'Torah, Echod Kore V'Echod Mitargem. When it comes to the Torah reading, you have one that's reading the original from the original scroll, from the Torah itself, and there's a second party that after every pasuk is read, so someone recites an Aramaic translation or explanation of the pasuk, and they alternate. One reads from the text, and the other one, when the text is finished, whether it be pasuk by pasuk or whatever. So on that section, the mitargem, the one reciting the Aramaic translation, he says his thing. And what we want to avoid is having one person reading and two people saying the targum. Ubenovi echot kore ushnayim mitargemin. When it comes to the reading of the Haftorah, the prophets that are read every Shabbos and on other occasions, you have one reading the Novi, and you can have two people that are reciting the Targum. They can be, there are two people that are saying the Aramaic, most likely are saying it together. What we want to avoid is having two people reading the Novi and two people saying the Targum, but one person reading and two people saying the Targum, that's acceptable. Rashi points out the First of all, as far as the Torah is concerned, we say that when two people are reading, Trei Koli Lo Mishtamoi, it's difficult to concentrate when you have two people, even if they're reading it together, and that's what it seems from Rashi that we alluded to on Omen Aleph, that the when we speak about the two reading, they're actually reading it together. But nevertheless, it could be confusing when you have two voices being heard at the same time. So, with regard to both the Torah and the Navi, when it comes to reading the original text, we don't have that. We have only one person reading. However, when it comes to the Targum, in the case of the Torah reading contains mitzvos, and it's very important that people who don't understand the Hebrew, those who will understand the Aramaic, which, as far as in the time of the Gemara, that referred to all of the women folk and other uneducated, they would understand the Aramaic. So when it comes to mitzvah education, we want to make sure they hear it, and therefore we don't have two people when it comes to the Torah reading saying the Targum. However, when it comes to the prophets, which don't contain mitzvos, they're not the source of mitzvos, so we can accept two people reciting the Targum. We continue. Ubahalel v'megillah afilu asora korin. When it comes to Hallel or the Megillah reading, even 10 can read together, and those who listen can fulfill their obligation. My taima, why, when it comes to Hallel and Megillah, do we find this departure and allow multiple people to read together and others listen? Kevon de Chaviva, since it is special, literally it's dear to them, and that's a function of it not happening on a regular basis. Torah reading is every week, and so is the Novi, but the Megillah is read only once a year, and the Hallel is only on holidays, so it has this special appeal. That which is less frequent has greater appeal, and therefore Yahavi Datayo, they make a concerted effort, Vishami, and they will hear it, they will hear what's being read, even though you have multiple voices at the same time. Mokom, and here we go into the issue of the bracha. On the side, under our topic heading, Hodikotoni, the bracha al ha-Megillah, toli b'minig, that which we learned in the Mishnah, that the bracha connected with the Megillah reading is based on custom, as opposed to a letter of the law. Hainu, the bracha shelachrel. That's a reference to the bracha that follows the Megillah reading. Avol lefonel chovo. But as far as before the Megillah reading, the bracha that is recited is obligatory. Omar Abaye. And here's a point. It lasts a couple of lines. We have a long marking. Lo shanu. The teaching of the Mishnah that said, Mokom shenagu levorech yivorech. That teaching is true only lachrel with regard to the brocha after the Megillah. Avolifoneha, but with regard to a brocha or brochos recited before the Megillah reading, mitzvah levorech, there is an obligation to say a brocha. Yomar of Yudam or Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvos kulon mevorech aleihem oiver lasyosan. Shmuel teaches that all mitzvos, one is commanded to make a brocha, over, lasyon, so over means before their performance. And here the Gemara deals with that somewhat unusual word, over, lasyon. My mashma dahai over, lishno da akadumihu. Where do we find precedent in scriptures that the word over would mean something before or in front of? And here we're talking about before the mitzvah is performed. Omar Rav Nachmon Bar Yitzchok Omar Kro. Well, he presents a pasuk by Yoratz Achimatz Derech Hakikor VaYavor Es Hakushi, and Achimatz ran through the Kikor, through that area, and he overtook. The main word here was what we want to emphasize: the dashed underline VaYavor Es Hakushi, overtook in his running. He overtook the Kushi. Abai Omar Mehocha, from this pasuk, Vuhu Ovar Lifnehem, and he went in front of them. So you see the word Ovar in the context of going in front of. V'Iboy Esemo Mehocha, a third source, Vayavor Malcolm lifneim vashem v'rosham, and Malcolm went. They're literally their king went in front of them, and again you see Vayavor is going in front of. Lifoneho mai mevorech. Well, what is the bracha that's recited before the Megillah reading? We just got finished saying that the idea of having a bracha before the Megillah reading, that's something that's obligatory. Here we've slashed, underlined, Lifoneho mai mevorech, and the next line, L'acharel mai mevorech. There the Gemara deals with the bracha after the Megillah reading that we say is something that is custom related. So what is the bracha before? Rav Sheshes mi Katarzia ikla lekamei de Rav Ashi. Rav Sheshes from Katarzia visited Rav Ashi uborach, and he said here, this is an abbreviation, mem nun ches is mikra megillah she'osa nisim, the nun is nisim, and the ches is from the word shehechiyonu. The Mikra Megillah is the Birchas HaMitzvah, Baruch Atu Hashem Elokeinu Melechom, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvoisov V'Tzivonu Al Mikra Megillah. She'osa Nisim is probably very familiar from Hanukkah as well, where we say She'osa Nisim L'Avoseinu B'Yamim Ohem B'Zman Hazeh. And Shechiyonu, the well-known Shechiyonu Bracha. L'Achreho Amay Mevorech, what is the Bracha after the Megillah reading? And here we have a text, and we have a long marking. And let us point out that at the conclusion of this long marking, you'll notice on the line Aleph, and then Rava is noted with a beis, where he adds a little bit more to the initial text. So the conclusion bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Harav Es Rivenu, V'don V'adon Es Dinenu. He who argues our cases, who judges our judgments, V'anokim Es Mikmosenu, who takes revenge for our need for vengeance, v'nifra lonu mitzareinu, he who takes retribution from our enemies, v'mashalim gemul l'chol oyveinu nafshenu, and he who pays all those that are at odds with us and are our enemies, baruch ato Hashem hanifra liyisrael mikol tzoreihem, blessed be the Almighty who takes retribution on behalf of the Jews from all its oppressors. Rava Omar Hokel Hamoshia. Rava says that the end of the text should be the Almighty, the Lord that saves us. Omar Rav Papa Hilkoch Nimrinu Litravayo. Rav Papa actually consistent with his position at many different places throughout the Shas, when there are alternative expressions, Rav Papa will try to fuse the two together, and here he does so. He says, let's say both of them, Baruch Atah Hashem Hanifra LiYisrael Mikol Tzoreihem Hokel HaMoshia. B'Sheni V'Chamishi B'Shabbos B'Mincha Korin Shlosha. When it comes to Sheni, the Mondays, V'Chamishi Thursdays, Shabbos B'Mincha Korin Shlosha, three are called to the Torah. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, a diamond will appear, and it's a reference to Hani Gimel, the three that are called to the Torah on these respective days, and ten, and we'll see that's a reference to ten psukim that are read, the minimum number of psukim that are read. Keneged mi, what do they represent? Hani Gimel Oilim B'Sheni Chamishi Keneged mi. We'll speak about the three that are called to the Torah. In what do they represent? So first we'll deal with the, we'll say the number three, the Gemara. Hani Shlosha Keneged Mi. The three that are called to the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays. In honor of whom? Omar Rav Asi, Keneged Torah Nevi'im Uksivim. They are in honor of, or they represent, the three sections of the Holy Scriptures, of the Tanakh. Tanakh is, of course, an abbreviation using the Tav of the word Torah, the Nun of the word Nevi'im, and the Chof of the word Ksuvim, the Ksuvim being the called the Holy Writings, the later writings. Rava Omar Keneged Kayanim Levi'im V'Yisraelim. It represents the number three represents the three sections of Klal Yisrael, and continue the Gemara continues. Elaha de Tani Rav Simi Ein Pochasin Mi Asor Psukim Beis Hakneses Vayedaber Oyla Min Aminyon. Vayedaber represents the pasuk Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, which Rashi says is a pasuk that from which we don't learn any. New laws. We don't learn from it anything other than what it says, that Hashem spoke to Moshe, but it is a pasuk in and of itself, and hence it counts toward the 10 required psukim. Hani asora keneged mi. These 10 psukim, what do they represent? So here you have a couple of opinions. You'll see we've got three opinions highlighted. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, keneged asora batlonim shebebeis haknesses. They are in honor of the required presence of 10 people in a community that are, they're called batlonim. In other words, batlonim is a word meaning that they're not occupied. They're, let's say, relieved of other preoccupations so that they are available in the community to say service, we'll say the religious core. They are available for creating a minyan, and they'll be studying Torah all the time. Those are their batlonim, their batel from other malachas, and that's something that a community should have. So those are the 10 batlonim that are in the synagogue. And that's why we have minimum of 10 psukim to correspond to those 10 batlonim. Rav Yosef Omar Keneged Aseres HaDibros. They represent the 10 commandments. Shenemru L'Moshe B'Sina, that were told to Moshe Rabbeinu at Mount Sinai. Rav Yochanan Omar Keneged Asora Ma'amoros Shebohem Nivra Ho'ilom. They correspond to the 10 commands, statements of the Almighty in the creation of the world. The Gemara now wants to clarify this idea. Where do we find 10 ma'amoros, 10 statements from which the world resulted? Hey, ninhu, what are the statements that through which the world was created? Vayomer debreshis, where you see in the opening of the Torah in Parshas Breshis, the pasuk says, for example, Vayomer Elohim Yehi Or, and the Almighty declared, there shall be light. So that Vayomer is the opening of Hashem's speech, Kodesh Baruch Hu's, the Almighty's command that such and such should come to be. Well, if you count up the number of statements like that, Hani Tishahav, there are really only 9. So where do you come off saying that the minimum of 10 verses that are read as part of that comprise the Torah reading is in honor of 10 ma'amoros when we find only 9? The Gemara answers, Bracious Nami Maimer Hu. The pasuk opens up, the Torah opens up, Bracious Bora Elohim Eser Shamayim Vesaretz. Now, Bracious is a reference to that. And in that statement, which some will translate in the beginning or at the beginning, the Almighty created heaven and earth. So the creation of Shemayin Varetz is also a result of a mimer of Hashem. And how do we know that? Dechtiv, bidvar Hashem, through the word of Hashem, Shemayim na'asu, uberuach piv kol tzva'om. Through the word of Hashem, the heavens were created, and through the breath of His mouth, all of its hosts. So that when the pasuk opens up, Bereishis bara Elokim es Shamayim ves Aretz, that is an allusion to the fact that Shamayim and Aretz needed a mimer for their creation. So that accounts for the 10th mimer. Now, before we continue in the Gemara, we look at the side, the Nosei, under the Nosei heading, the topic heading, Bekriyas Asar Psukim, Shemishalek Bein Shloishikurim, when you have 10 Psukim divided amongst 3 Aliyos, 3 people that are called up to read, Mi shezoicha likroi dalei psukim mishubach. The one who reads four psukim, we're working, of course, with this idea that there's a minimum of three psukim per person who, when it's being read, but since we also have a minimum of 10 psukim for the Torah reading, the one who gets four is most praiseworthy. Omar Rava, Rishon Shikora Arba Mishubach, Shani, the second, if it's the Rishon means if it's the first one to get called that he gets to read four psukim, then he is praiseworthy. And if it happens to be the second fellow called up, Shani Shikora Dalet Mishubach, Shlishi Shikora Dalet Mishubach. Now what the Gemara does is it goes and presents a precedent for each one of these points. And the volcano shape that you see, it's featured under the Mivneh, the structural note, where we see the trapezoid, Rishon, Emtsoi, and Achron, the first, the middle, and the last. When you have three people, so these are Hoychochois, Shemish, Shemi Mehem, Shezoiche, Bekriyas, Dalet, Hapsukim, Meshubach. The one who lucks out, is fortunate to read four psukim, as opposed to the other two who will read three, so that is praiseworthy. Now, where do we find precedent for either first or middle or last of having, say, special significance? Rishon Shikora Dalet Meshubach Desnan. We have a precedent for the first having preeminence. This, it says, regarding the Beis HaMikdash financial activities, it says, B'shalosh kupos shel shalosh shalosh so'in. There were three boxes, each box containing a measure of three saw. Saw is a type of measure, it's a quantity, so we're talking about a box that holds three saw, and there were three boxes like that. Shebohen tormin es halishka. Monies that were collected and put into these boxes, and these boxes containing the monies would be placed in a lishkan, an office that contained the cash. The hoyo kosuv alein aleph beis gimel, and on each box a letter was written. One was written with aleph, the second beis, and the second gimel. Leida ezo mehen nisrimo rishon. What happened is that the monies were collected. Everyone's familiar with the Machzis HaShekel. So monies were collected from the public, and they were put into an office, into a lishka. And once the lishka was filled with monies, as the lishka was being filled with cash, these boxes were filled up. So the first box to be filled up was noted with an aleph, being that that was the first one that was filled up, so that would also be the first box from which monies were drawn for purchasing public sacrifices. And what does this show us? Shemitzvah Berishon. The primary emphasis precedence is given to the first. So the first box to be filled up would be the first one from which funds were drawn to purchase public sacrifices. Emtsoi, where do we find emphasis placed on middle one? Emtsoi Shikora Arba Mishubach. If the one to read four psukim was the second aliyah, the second of three, he's the middle one, so he is praiseworthy. Desanya, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Yo'iru. This is a reference to the candelabra, the menorah that stood in the Beis HaMikdash, and it says that it was a seven-branch candelabra, three on one side and three on the other side of a middle trunk. Melamed shemitzadei pneim klape ner ma'rovi, v'ner ma'rovi klape shchina. This pasuk of El Mul Pnei HaMenorah demonstrates that the six branches, three on one side and three on the other of the middle branch, would be tilted inwards facing the middle branch, and the middle branch would be tilted westward facing the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was where there was the divine presence was focused. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mikan Shem Tzoy Meshubach. Rabbi Yochanan says, from here, we see that the middle one is most praiseworthy, as you see by the menorah, that the external, the three branches on either side were tilted in just a bit, facing the middle branch. The Achron Shekor Abro Meshubach, we say that if the last Aliyah is the one to read four psukim, so he is praiseworthy. And this is based on a principle, Mishum Malin the Kodesh Velo Marid. When you're dealing with elements of holiness, we rise, we increase, and do not decrease. So that it's the last reader is a build-up. He's the third one. We read, the first fellow read, the second fellow was called up, and now finally the last one. So he represents the elevation in sanctity. Rav Papa Ikla, Rabbi Knishta da Abe Gubor. Rav Papa visited Bei Knishta, a shul of Abe Gubor. The Korah Rishon Arba, and the one who had read first, he read the four of the ten psukim. Vishabche Rav Papa, and Rav Papa praised him. Ein pochasin mehen the ein mosifin. You're not to have less than three, and not more than three, people called up to the Torah on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos Mincha. On the side, we have a topic heading. Ho'idna means nowadays. Kol oyla l'Torah mevorach lifuna ulachra'a. Shene midin ha'mishnah. Nowadays, in contrast to the Mishnah, so when we speak about nowadays, we're talking about in the time of the Gemara. So historically, we're seeing what we call halachic development, where there was one practice in the time of the Mishnah, but as time went on, when you reached the time of the Gemara, there was a change. So Tana, the Tanaic source says, Haposech mevarach lefoneha. The first one called up to the Torah, he makes an opening bracha. We would say that the text would be, Asher bocharbonu mikolo amin v'nosan lanu es Torah so, Baruch ato Hashem nosein ha-Torah. And then the chosem, the ha-chosem mivarach lachara, means the last person to be called up to Torah, he would make a closing bracha of Asher nosan lanu Torah's emes, v'chaye oylom not ha-besoichenu, Baruch ato Hashem nosein ha-Torah. So you have, even though you have multiple people being called up to the Torah, the bracha recitation was done only by the first and the last persons called up. First one called up makes a bracha before they start the Torah reading. The last one to be called up would make a bracha at the completion of the Torah reading. The Gemara continues, V'idna, nowadays, the kulu mevorchi lifuna ul achra. Nowadays, that each person that's called up makes recites an opening and closing bracha. Asher bochar bonu and asher nosalonu teras emes haynu taimo detekinu rabbanan. This is the reason that the rabbanan instituted this. Gezeiro mishum hanichnosim umishum hayoytsim, in anticipation of those that enter the shul late and those that might leave the shul early. This phenomenon of people coming in late and leaving early is not something that is characteristic only of recent times. This is something that has been a phenomenon from time immemorial. And it got to a point where if you have someone that, let us say he comes in late, and he sees people reading from the Torah, and he would, let us say we would be practicing what was done at the Mishnah, he would come in late, he would see someone called up to the Torah, he would draw the conclusion that that before one reads from the Torah, there's no need for a bracha. So, and why would he conclude that? Because he came into shul late and he didn't see the first person being called up to the Torah, in fact, reciting an opening bracha. So because of that, people who are nichnasim, who come in late, So each person called up to the Torah would recite an opening bracha. But why would each one say a closing bracha? Those are Mishum HaYotzim, those people who would leave shul before the conclusion of the Torah. They could easily come to the mistaken conclusion that the Torah reading has no requirement of having a closing bracha. After all, what did they hear? They were there on time, so they heard an opening bracha, and they saw people being called up. But by virtue of the fact that they left before the end, they never heard. They never heard the last bracha, the closing bracha. So we institute that each person being called up will, in addition to saying an opening bracha because of those that come late, there will be a closing bracha so as to prevent the wrong conclusion that there is no closing bracha. And therefore, each ole does both an opening, asher bochar banu, and a closing, asher nosan lanu teras emes, bracha. Beroshe chadoshim chol shemoy kuren arba. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei topic heading. Ech mechalkin hapsukim bein arba oholim bekriyas haturah shorosh chodesh. How are we to divide amongst four aliyas, four readers, the psukim of the Rosh Chodesh Torah reading? And the problems, the issues, will come up as we go through the Gemara. Take note of the fact that we open here up with a long question, which takes us to the second line from the top of Omid Beis. For that is of Chof Beis Omid Aleph. Bomine Ula Bar Rav Me Rava. Ula asks a question of Rava. Parshas Rosh Chodesh Ketzad Korin Osa. How are we to divide the Rosh Chodesh Torah reading amongst four people? Tzav es b'nei Yisrael v'yomateleim es korboni lachmi dehavion tamnipsuki hechi navid. The expression hechi navid is in a triangle, and on the side hechi navid shlavei birur shel hashelana. These triangles represent stages of analysis of the question, of the issue at hand. So it's all part of a long question. Take note of that. Also, take note of the following information. On the other side of the Gemara, you might see we've written in the following. Vayedaber and Tzav represent psukim in Bamidbar Perek Chof Ches, psukim Aleph through Ches. Those are eight psukim. Uvayom HaShabos represents psukim Tes and Yud. There are two psukim. And Uvaroshe Chodshechem, that is the opening of the, we'll say, third section of verses that contain five psukim, psukim Yud Aleph through Tes Vav. So we have a breakdown of 8, 2, and 5 psukim. How are we to divide these amongst four people called up to the Torah? So now, we continue with the first triangle, three lines from the bottom. Hechi Navid, what should we do with regard to the opening eight psukim? Nikri Trei Tlosa psukim. If we would call two people up, each one reading three psukim apiece, Poshu Luhu Trei, that would leave two psukim, psukim Zion and Ches, left unread at that point. The Ein Mishairin Beparsha Pochos Mishloisha Psukim. There is a rule that when someone finishes their Aliyah to the Torah, they don't leave less than three Psukim before the end of a Torah section. And there's a break in the Psukim that we delineated before. Each one represents a separate Torah section, a parsha it's called. So you don't leave, after someone finishes their aliyah, their section called up the Torah, they are not to leave less than three psukim before the end of a Torah breakdown, a Torah section. So that is not an option. Nikri Arba Arba, let's say you would have the eight psukim divided, four apiece for the first two people, the first two of the four eventual people that are called up. So you have eight psukim, divide it four and four. So what happens? Poshu lahu shiva. You're going to be left with a balance of seven psukim. And it's, how do you get to that? Uvyom HaShabbos HaVyon Train, the section that begins with Uvyom HaShabbos, that's Pasuk Tes. That's a section that has two psukim in it. That's a separate topic. It, hence we call it a parsha, a separate section of two psukim. Uvaroshe Chodshechem HaVyon Chamisha. And the next section of the Torah that begins with Pasuk Yud Aleph, that is called Uvaroshe Chodshechem, that has Havin Chamish, has five psukim in it. So after the first two aliyahs, if you were to do it, as we just said, four and four, you're now left with two and five to be divided by two people. Hechi Navid, how are we going to handle that? Nikri Trei Meha V'chad Mehanoch. Don't forget, there's a minimum of three psukim per person called up. So, after having accounted for, let us say, the first two people reading four and four, so the third person called up, maybe we'll do this. He'll read the two psukim of Uvyom HaShabbos, that's psukim Tes and Yud, and he'll read Pasuk Yud Aleph, that's V'chad Mehanoch, and one into the next section, which is Pasuk Yud Aleph. That's not an option, though. We continue at the top of Chof Beis Omid Aleph. Ein maschilin v'parsha pochos mishloisha psukim. That we wouldn't be able to do that because, as Pasuk Yud Aleph is being read, that represents the opening of a new subsection, a new parsha. And the rule is that you don't read into a new parsha less than three psukim. Well, then likri trei meha. Let's try this out. Let the third ole, the third aliyah to the Torah, read two psukim from Biyom HaShabbos, that's psukim Tes and Yud, utlosa mehach, and three psukim from the Rosh of Rosh Chodshechem section, that he would read pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. But that's no good. Poshul Hu Trei, that will leave only two psukim for the last ole, and that's too few psukim. So we've presented the Rosh Chodesh Torah reading problem. How do you divide 8, 2, and 5? How do you divide that amongst four readers, four aliyahs to the Torah? So the question had been posed to Rava, Omar Loi. Rava responds to Ula Bar Rav, who has asked him the question. He says, and note, by the way, this is a long answer, Zu lo shamati, kayotze ba shamati. What you are asking, so I didn't hear a direct answer to that, but I heard something similar, and as everyone knows, in Torah learning, we compare topics one to the other. So if I have something similar, maybe it can serve as a precedent. Disnan, we have a Mishnah from Maseches Tainis. And in Maseches Tainis, those of you who are familiar with this will find this to be a point of review. Otherwise, we have to say a word about this. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, every week of temple service, there were representatives of Klal Yisrael that were assigned to, we'll say, accompany the offering of sacrifices. And we're saying this in very general terms. They had an assigned role that during their week of representation, they're called the ma'amodos, these representatives would gather in shul and read a Torah section for each day of the week that there were ma'amodos. So a section from the beginning of the Torah we call Maisa Bracious, the psukim that deal with the creation, were read. Now, this Mishnah says, "Bayom Harishon," on the first day of the Ma'amodos, they would read the following: "Bracious Vihi Rokia." they would read Psukim Aleph through Hay, plus Psukim Vav through Ches, Vitani Allah, Bracious Bishnaim Hira Kia Be'echad. And it is taught concerning that Psukim comprise the section that we call here Bracious is a shorthand, Bracious, but it's represents the Psukim beginning with Bracious, Bora, Lakimis, Shemetis, Oretz, as Pasuk Aleph. And Pasuk Aleph through Hay would be read by Shnaim, by two people. So you've got five Psukim, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and Hay. That's five Psukim. Two people would be split between two people. Yehi Rokia, which had three Psukim in it, Psukim Vav, Zayin, and Ches, Be'echad, one person would read that. So you have three Aliyos divided amongst eight Psukim. V'havinon bo, and we ask, Bishlomo Yehi Rokia Be'echad, I understand that Psukim Vav, Zayin, and Ches can be read by one person, the Klosa Psuki Havu. They constitute, that section of Yerukiah is comprised of three Psukim. And as we said earlier, that is the minimum number of Psukim to be read by one person. Ela Bracious Bishnayim, but having the Bracious section, which is comprised of Psukim Aleph through Hay, two people called up, and there's five psukim divided between two people, Hamisha psukim havu. There are only five psukim v'tanya, and we have a source that says, Hakuri b'Torah lo yivchos mishlosha psukim. One who reads from the Torah shall read no less than three psukim. Well, and how is that problem solved? This is all part of Rova's long comment, the Itmar Allah, and it was stated concerning that, Rav Omar Doleg, Ushmul Omar Posek. Rav says Doleg. Doleg, if we want to translate it, we'll say it means he skips backwards. That means that the first one would read Psukim Aleph Beis Gimel, and the second one would read Pasuk Gimel again. He would read Gimel, Dalet, and Hay. That's Doleg. As we said, it means skipping back and repeating something that was already read. And Shmuel Amar Posek, Shmuel says, split or stop in the middle. One person would read Pasuk Aleph Beis and the first half of Pasuk Gimel, and the second person would read the second half of Pasuk Gimel, then Pasuk Dalet and Pasuk Hay. So now, with that information in mind, we would then apply that back to the Rosh Chodesh Torah reading and suggest that this is will be will, these approaches could be superimposed on the Rosh Chodesh Torah reading and thereby solve the problem that we presented before. At this point in the Gemara like analyzes the two opinions. We have Rav and Shmuel. Why does each one not say like the other one? This discussion will carry us down to the end of the narrow lines, the first wide line of the Gemara, and it's true we're in the middle of presenting a Daf Yomi style shir, but here it's important for us we're overflowing a bit, but it wouldn't be to our benefit to try to pick this up again next time. So, after having stated the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara now analyzes why each one does not say like the other. And this we highlight with some markings. The double underline is highlighted on the side under the Mivneh heading. Chuvos l'sheilo hanal. Rav Amar Doleg and Shmuel Amar Posek. And as we said, at each point here, the Gemara will be, you see where the squiggle underline appears, is my time alone or posek. And later, where Shmuel is double underlined, Shmuel that says posek, why does he not say doleg? So now the Gemara continues. Rav Omar doleg, my time alone or posek, why not adopt the approach of reading posek aleph beis and half of gimel? Kosova, Rav is of the opinion, Kopsuka de lo paske Moshe anan lo paskinon lei. Any pasuk that was not broken, was not split by Moshe Rabbeinu, we do not split it either. So it's, for as far as Rav is concerned, one has to preserve completeness. Here we have a bracketed section, and the brackets are for an initial skipping just to preserve the standard Gemara structure. You can see later the Gemara says, after the brackets, Ushmuel, Omar Posek Shmuel, who said that we split the Psukim, my time alo Omar Doleg. Why does he not say like Rav did, go skip backwards? So the answer given to Shmuel is, why he does not like the Rav approach is Gzera Mishum HaNichnosen UMishum HaYotzen, something that is quite familiar to us. We saw this earlier. The problem will involve those who come in late and those who leave early. In other words, if you were to follow Rav's approach and make the assumption that people do come in late and leave early. So, if let us say someone comes in late and he sees someone getting called up to the Torah, and that fellow would be beginning with Pasuk Gimel. What will he think about, and he knows he came in late, what will he think about the person who started the Torah reading? He'll think that the guy read only two Pesukim, Aleph and Beis, because he sees someone else starting with Pasuk Gimel. He will think that you can have less than three Pesukim read by someone getting an Aliyah. And likewise, if you have the first person reading Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and there's only two psukim till the end of the section, and someone leaves early, the first person having read Pasuk Gimel, leaving only two more psukim till the end of that section, and someone leaves early from shul, he will think that you can get an aliyah to the Torah and read only two psukim, because he'll be figuring that when you reach the end of a Torah section, a parsha breakdown in the Torah, that would constitute the end of his aliyah. So get this wrong impression. You could see there's a Rashi at the beginning of the narrow lines, above, at the beginning of the narrow lines, Rashi says, Gzera mishum nichnasim, Shiishmu, people who come in late, they will Shiishmu Hasheni Masfil Posuk Zeh Viyomru Lo Kor Rishon El Shnayim. If they see the second person called up to the Torah starting from Posuk Gimel, they will think that the first person read only two Psukim. V'chein HaYotzim Shiishmu Zerishon Kori Shlosha V'yetzu MiBeis HaKnesses. People who hear the first one read Psukim Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, and then leave Shul, Fiyomru, Lo Yikrasheni Elishnayim, they'll think the second guy is going to read only two Psukim, because there are only two Psukim remain till the end of that particular Torah breakdown that we called a Parsha. So because of that, Shmuel prefers just read two and a half, half being the representative of at least a Pasuk, and the second person reading half of that pasuk, and then plus two more. Also, each one then would have read what we would call a representation of three psukim apiece. We have a bracketed section that we skipped, so let's go over that now. Shmuel had said that you stop a pasuk and you break in the middle of a pasuk. Ushmuel Omar. Paskinon Lei. Shmuel said that we break a pasuk in the middle. How could Shmuel say that? V'ha'omer Rabbi Chanina Korah. Korah is part of Rabbi Chanina's name. He was a person who was expert in scriptures. So Rabbi Chanina Korah told us once, Tsar Godol Hoya Li Eitzel Rabbi Chanina HaGodol. Interesting, they have the first... let's just read a little bit more accurately. Rabbi Hananya Korah, according to our text over here, Rabbi Hananya Korah, he, as we said, was a person who had expertise in scriptures. He said, Tsar Godol Hoyali Eitzel Rabbi Chanina HaGodol. I had a great difficulty that I had to present to Rabbi Chanina, the great Rabbi Chanina. And you see, Rabbi Hananya Korah was a person who was entrusted with teaching children psukim, teaching them Torah. And he said, I had difficulty, and the difficulty involves how do you teach children, their tender young children that don't have the ability to absorb too much information too much textual information before hearing an explanation. So he says that I had difficulty in teaching children. And he made a special allowance for me. Lifsok is to stop a posuk in the middle, and that allowance is only for the children of the school. That's tinokos shel beis rabban, young children. The reason allowance was made to break a posuk in the middle is because that is the only way they'll be able to learn them. But if you're dealing with some scenario that doesn't involve the education of children, you cannot break psukim up in the middle. So, how does Shmuel grapple with that? You see from here what appears to be a general rule that you're not allowed to break psukim up in the middle. The Gemara answers, Hosam taimo mai, there, by Rabbi Hanino HaGodol, and his ruling, why did he give that ruling, that you can break up the psukim for the education of children? Mishum dolo efsher, because there is no other way. Hochanami, so to hear with regard to the Torah reading of the Ma'amodos, there lo efsher, there is no other way. You've got five psukim, that's it. You don't have any room for maneuvering. You have only five psukim, and you've got to divide them between two people. So since you have no other option, you are allowed to split it as Shmuel suggested. Ushulamer posek, Shmuel had said that you split in the middle, my time alomer doleg, and we read this before, gzero mishum hanichnosim, umishum hayotzen. Rav's option doesn't even get started as far as Shmuel is concerned, because Shmuel is concerned with those that come in late and leave early, and what impression they could get otherwise. Meisvei, here we present the question. This is a long question, and let us tell you ahead of time, and that is that the question is going to be raised against both Rav and Shmuel. Meisvei, Parsha shel Shisha Psukim, Korin Oisa Bishnayim. When we talk about the Torah reading on Mondays and Thursdays, so a Parsha that has six Psukim in it, the Parsha is again, it's a breakdown, a Torah breakdown of sections. The entire Torah is broken down into different sections. Some called a Parsha Psucha, some called a Parsha Stuma, but there are sections, and you can see these clearly when you open up most standard Chumashim, the Parsha breakdown. So if the Parsha contains in it six Psukim, you can assign that to two separate people, three apiece, three Psukim per person. V'shel Chamisha Psukim B'yochid, if there is a Parsha of the Torah that is comprised of five Psukim, so one person will read them. Kora Rishon Shlosha, let's say you have a Parsha of five Psukim, and it's a Monday Torah reading, or Thursday Torah reading, and the first one read three psukim. Hasheni korei shnayim mi parsha zu v'echod mi parsha acheres. The second one called up to the Torah will read the balance of two psukim from this particular parsha and spill over by reading one pasuk in the next section. The Yeshomim, a second opinion on this matter, says shloisha, that the second aliyah will read the two psukim we just mentioned of the five, the balance of the five, and three will spill over, bringing three psukim into the next section. L'fisha'ein maschilin b'parsha pochos mishloisha psukim. Because of a rule that the Yesh Omrim features, and that is that you don't start a new parsha by reading less than three psukim. So what did we see in this source? We saw a scenario that is kind of familiar to us from what we've learned before, and that is a parsha of five psukim. How do you deal with it? Well, one thing is clear. You didn't see any skipping back, and you didn't see any splitting of psukim. You saw spillover into the next section. V'im yisa l'man domar doleg nidlog. If it is, as was said above, according to Rav, that says you skip back. So when you have the Parsha of five psukim, and the first person read three, so skip back and have the second person read Pasuk Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. Ulamadam or Posek, according to Shmuel, that said you split a Pasuk in half. So the first person should have read Pasuk Aleph Beis and half of Gimel, and the second person read the second half of Pasuk Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. So neither one of these approaches is suggested in this Tanaic source, casting a shadow on the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. Neither of their solutions seems to be adopted. The Gemara responds, Shiny Hossam, the Torah reading of Mondays and Thursdays in Shul is different. De'efshir b'hachi. It's possible. You see, the Torah readings of Mondays and Thursdays is a Torah reading from which you're reading from Parshas HaShavua. You're reading that week's Torah portion, which is much longer than the representative reading of Mondays and Thursdays, which is an abbreviated Torah portion. If you're familiar with the terminology, we read until Sheni. We read only the first section of what you would read on Shabbos. So, since it's of the weekly Torah reading, you have spillover room. You're not doing something wrong by, let's say, spilling into a topic that's it's irrelevant. It's relevant in the sense that it's part of the weekly Torah reading anyway. This is in contrast to Rosh Chodesh. When you're reading the Rosh Chodesh Torah reading, you're let's say, restricted to the topic at hand. You have the, as we saw before, you have the Rosh Chodesh section in the discussion earlier. We had Psukim Yud Aleph through Tesvav of Rosh Chodeshem. You had five Psukim Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tesvav. You have five Psukim, and you can't talk about spilling over there into the next part of the Torah, which has no relevance to Rosh Chodesh. So, since you had you didn't have the spillover possibility, we had to come up with another solution. And by the way, that equally applies to the issue of the mamodos, where you don't have a spillover solution, so you have to adopt either the Rav or Shmuel approach. Omar Rabbi Tanchum, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halocha ki yesh oimrim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, whose name is highlighted with this double underline, he rules like the Yesh Omrim, which means that you don't start a new parsha with less than three psukim. The Omer Rabbi Tanchum, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, another ruling of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is Kishem She'ein Maschilin b'parsha Pochos Mishlosha psukim, just like you don't start a new section by reading less than three psukim, Kach Ein Mishairin b'parsha Pochos Mishlosha Psukim. So too, when someone completes his aliyah to the Torah, he doesn't leave over less than three psukim till the end of that section. The Gemara asks, what do I need the second ruling of Rabbi Shimon Levi? Pshita? That's obvious that you don't leave over less than three psukim. Hashto uma aschalto Dekom Mekil Tanakamo Machmiri Yesh Oimrim. And we should point out that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he rules like the Yesh Oimrim. That's what the first comment of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was. So mind you, when it comes to the issue of a Parsha beginning, where the Tanakamo is Mekil and the Yesh Oimrim is Machmir, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi paskins like the Yesh Omrim who was Machmir, Shior, when it comes to the issue of leaving over Psukim till the end of a Parsha, the Machmir Tanakama, where the Tanakama expressed his Chumrah that you don't leave over less than three Psukim till the end of a Parsha, you shouldn't leave over less than three Psukim till the end of a Parsha, lo kol shekein the machmiri yesh omrim, all the more so the yesh omrim will be machmir. So once you show me how Rabbi Shua ben Levi follows the yesh omrim on the topic of beginning a parsha, when it comes to the amount of psukim that you leave over toward the end of the parsha, which was the second ruling of Rabbi Shlomo Levi, it's obvious that that would be the halacha. Namely, even the Tanakhama would agree with that. Just for clarification purposes, we made a comment that when it comes to leaving over there, even the Tanakhama is machmir. Now, where do you see that point? So Rashi points out that in the Tanaic source that we read just a few lines above in the frame, he said, the Tanakhama said, that if you have a section of five psukim, that should be read by one person. You know, that's the proper way of doing things, because to have the first person read three psukim, you're going to be leaving over a balance of two, and that's what we're dealing with right now, that ein mishayim parsha pochus mishlosh psukim. So what do I need the second ruling of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? As we said, that would seem to be obvious. The Gemara answers, mahu detema nichnosim shchichi. People coming in late is something that's common, and therefore the Yesh Omrim will be machmir about when you start a new parsha, you are not to read less than three psukim. Because let's say a new parsha, you would have someone read less than three psukim, then someone would come in late. He will see, person coming in late will see that from the point that it's being read now, going back to the beginning of that parsha, there were less than three psukim. He'll think that you can read less than three psukim. So we don't want that impression to be created. Therefore, if someone comes in late, he will notice that the person being called up now was preceded by someone who had read at least three psukim before, and hence we won't have any wrongful conclusions. So therefore, the Yesh Omrim was machmir particularly in a common situation where people come in late. Therefore, it was important that when you restart into a new parsha, you don't read less than three psukim into the new parsha. However, Yoytzin lo shchichi de manchi sefer Torah v'nafki. However, for people to leave early, that's not common. So that there was room to think. There was room to think that you could leave over less than three psukim till the end of a parsha, because what, someone's going to leave early thinking that the next guy's going to read only two psukim? No! People will see that three psukim being read by the spillover method, as we mentioned before. And as such, maybe I can allow two psukim to be left at the end of a parsha. No one's going to leave at that point. Komash Malon, so that's what the second teaching of Rabbi Shimon Levi tells me, that you have to take that into consideration as well. And hence, just like we say, you don't read into a new parsha less than three psukim, you don't leave over less than three psukim till the end of a parsha, because if you were to leave, let's say, two psukim over till the end of the parsha, someone might leave early, leaving him thinking that the next guy's going to read just two psukim. The Tanakhama, Maishno Shiuri Delo Mishum Yoitzim. As far as the opinion of the Tanakhama, who says that you don't leave over less than three psukim, don't leave over two psukim to the end. And why? Well, he was concerned with those people that would leave early. Well, Aschulinami Gzero Mishumach Nichnosim, when it comes to the starting of a new parsha, why does he allow the starting of less than three psukim? He said that you can, if you have two psukim from an old parsha, from the previous parsha that are read, and you need to reach a minimum of three, so spill over by reading one pasuk into the new parsha. Why doesn't this bother him, though, that someone will come in late, and he'll see the next aliyah starting, let us say, from Pasuk Beis, or from Pasuk Gimel. What will he think that the guy before read? He'll think that the guy before read one Pasuk according to the approach that the Tanakhama suggested, where you can spill over into a new parsha by one pasuk, someone who comes in late will see that the fellow who's called up now is starting from pasuk base. So what did the guy before read? One pasuk. Isn't that something to avoid? Amri, so the Tanakhama answers, Manda Ayol, he who comes in late to shul, Shumi Shail, it's customer, it's common practice for him to ask when he sees the next person reading three psukim, and the first guy only read from this parsha only one pasuk, he'll ask what's going on. And therefore, it will then become clear that the person before, who had read before he came into shul, had in fact read three psukim. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi is a little more than halfway down. Shili mashil kishi yishma shikori hasheni shlosha mikros. When he sees the second person reading three psukim, v'rishon lo kor mi parsha zu elos shnayim, and the person before, in others, before he came into shul, had read only two psukim from this parsha, or one pasuk from this parsha, Yishal, this latecomer, will ask, Hech korah harishon shnei psukim v'lo yoser. How is it that the guy before read only two psukim and not more? V'yomru lo shikorah mi parsha yon. And they'll tell him, no, he read a couple psukim from the parsha just before. So, as far as latecomers are concerned, since their practice is to be inquisitive, ultimately they will be informed that the previous person had read a minimum of three psukim. Sholach le rabo brei derovo le rav Yosef. Hilchisa mai. What is the way, how is it, how should we deal with the ma'amodos issue? And that was the topic before where Rav and Shmuel were arguing. Sholach le, so he sent, he answered, Hilchisa doleg ve'emtsoi dolgun. We follow the doleg approach, and the emtsoi doleg means the middle one will do the doleg. That's the skipping back approach, so that to bring things down on a more practical level, the first person will read Pasuk Aleph Beis Gimel, and the middle person, the second aliyah, the second of three aliyahs, he will read Pasuk Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.